Welcome back to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The cybersecurity threat didn't start in the last year or two. In fact, the Secret Service has been running the National Computer Forensics Institute for a while now. But a bill now in Congress would expand that mission. Its sponsor, Representative John Ratliff of Texas, wants the Institute's expertise to spread to law enforcement at all levels of government.
This bill is really about standing up for our law enforcement and giving them the tools and resources they need to protect our communities and keep us safe in the cyber age. The bill that I introduced and that has now passed the House and is going to the Senate authorizes the National Computer Forensic Institute in Hoover, Alabama, and it's a facility that is training state and local law enforcement officers, prosecutors, and judges on how to investigate cyber and electronic crimes, on how to conduct computer forensic examinations, and how to respond to network intrusion investigations. And I'm sure, as your listeners know, this is just an increasing problem in the times that we live in. You can't help but open up your paper every day and see that there's been another hacking incident or another cyber event. And this bill will help our law enforcement folks deal with those issues.
And also the fact that lots of crime today, and even now as we're seeing the terrorist types of activities, the best way to track down all of what's going on is forensically, more than maybe even physical evidence on the surface.
So true. So to that point, the FBI director, Jim Comey, he testified before the committee, actually both of the committees that I serve on, both Homeland Security and Judiciary. But his testimony was interesting. He said, virtually every national security threat that we face, every crime problem that we face at the FBI has some cyber-based element. Some is either cyber-based or facilitated. So that really highlights and underscores the threats that we face in everyday life. You know, we've all seen these crime shows on TV where pieces of DNA evidence, like a strand of hair or a drop of blood, are the critical piece of evidence to solve the case. But today, what's more important, frankly, is digital evidence. In almost every case, some email that was sent, some online purchase that was made, some geolocation technology that could place an individual at the scene of a crime or prove that they weren't there is important evidence. And so we need to make sure that our investigators and our prosecutors and our judges know how to get to that evidence and how to protect it, preserve it, and ensure its authenticity in a court of law.
Now, the federal government has lots of resources in that area. You mentioned the FBI itself, also elements of Homeland Security, even the intelligence community. Do you see those assets and that expertise somehow being infused into this new forensics institute?
Absolutely. First of all, the institute itself is run by the United States Secret Service and will continue to be. So what my bill does is authorize it into law, which will make it will secure funding and allow the Secret Service and all federal agencies to remain involved in training vertically down to our state and local levels. And you know, one of the things, going back to, you talk about threats, going back to 9/11, you know, 9/11 was a failure of sharing information. We had enough information, if folks had been sharing information, to prevent that from happening. So what this bill will really do will allow our federal agencies to leverage state and local officials so that we're sharing information multi-directionally with one another, and we'll all be safer because of it.
And what about all of those state and even some county and large city fusion centers that might be staffed by vertical levels of government from federal all the way down to, you know, a local policeman officer? How do you see those relating perhaps to this forensics institute? Maybe they now.
Yeah, sure. No, it is. The great thing about this institute, which is already up and running, so this isn't theoretical, it exists. What my bill does is authorize it under law and secure its position and allow it to grow into the, you know, the premier cyber crime fighting institute in this country. But the goal here is to get every police department detective, every assistant district attorney, every state and county attorney, every state district court judge or state appellate judge through that facility. Now, we've already had over 4,500 local officials, many of whom are at local fusion centers in states around the country. But the point here, Tom, is that we can't have just some folks savvy in this area. We need to have all of our law enforcement because we are in a cyber age, and increasingly we're all going to have to be more adept and skilled on these issues.
We're speaking with Representative John Ratliff of Texas, And also, the House has passed the DHS Science and Technology Reform and Improvement Act, and that gives the Science and Technology Directorate a lot more role in this whole area of research and forensics and so forth. Do you see how do these bills relate to one another? Do they, and is there some synergy that can happen here?
They do. So the bill that you mentioned that passed regarding Science and Technology Directorate within the Department of Homeland Security, that's the research and development arm at Homeland Security. And so it is important. One of the things that I talk about all the time, as I talk about cyber-related issues, is that there is no silver bullet with respect to the threats that we're facing, because they're coming from cyber criminals, they're coming from terrorists that are using cyber means. ISIS and others are attempting to hack into our networks, nation states. So we're getting it from all sorts of angles and all sorts of bad actors. The problem that we have is the internet was built for opportunity. It wasn't built for security. And so we're trying to retrofit the internet with security patches, if you will, to protect our networks. And so what this bill does is going to enhance our ability to come up with those solutions to protect our networks through research and development. And so in this space, you know, all of these bills, none of them are silver bullets. They're all building blocks. You're going to continue to see me and other colleagues of mine on Capitol Hill advancing cyber legislation, because we've got to build our cyber defenses and cyber posture. And so these are all a good start, but there's a lot of work to be done in this space.
And how would you handicap the prospects for the big bill that has been debated in both the House and the Senate? They're not quite the same version, but the information sharing bill, and that would also include the liability protection for private entities that share information with the government and with one another. How would you handicap the prospects of those actually coming into law sometime soon?
I just had briefing on this yesterday. I'm closely involved with the process. We are, in fact, conferencing with the Senate, trying to match their bill with the two bills that did pass the House. We're very close, and I expect that we may have a vote on that as early as this week. And if by some chance we don't before this session of Congress, I think it'll be the first order of business. The good news there is if the House and Senate can come together, the White House has already, you know, they understand the need in light of everything that's happening, and I think the prospects for that becoming law early next year are very good.
Congressman John Ratliff represents Texas's 4th District. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. Still to come on Federal News Radio, the Transportation Security Administration made the most out of last summer's 30-day cybersecurity sprint. Jason Miller has a progress report. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.